Elite forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad are now pounding the city of Homs in what appears to be, or could possibly be, a final push on that opposition stronghold after a three-week-long siege. Reports from rebels in the district of Baba Amr say they're fending off more than 7,000 government troops. Meanwhile, the international community is continuing to consider its options and how exactly to intervene if intervention is decided upon. For more, we turn to Steve Cole, president of the New America Foundation and staff writer for The New Yorker. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning.
I wonder if our calculations have changed diplomatically this morning. I mean, obviously, people have been watching the situation in Syria, but when you're getting language out of the Syrian government saying they're going to cleanse the district of Baba Amr, does that suddenly make the case for intervention almost imperative?
Well, I think the facts have been pretty apparent for 3 weeks when you have a government using artillery against its own people, shelling from a distance indiscriminately, killing hundreds, thousands of civilians in a siege environment. The case for intervention has been apparent in that respect for weeks. The trouble is whether there really is a coalition that can intervene in time to stop the Syrian government from finishing what it has started in Homs.
I mean, the obvious answer would be the Arab League. If they were able to intervene to any extent in Libya, perhaps they also have the stomach to intervene in Syria. Is that a possibility?
Well, it's a very different setting. The geopolitics surrounding Syria are much more complicated than they were in Libya. There is a sectarian element between Shia Iran and now the majority Shia-led government in Iraq versus the ardently Sunni states in the Persian Gulf led by Saudi Arabia. Turkey is a factor here in a way that she wasn't in Libya, and because she's a neighbor of Syria. And Russia and China also feeling burned by the experience in Libya, where they felt as if they were sort of tricked into supporting what was designed as a humanitarian intervention and then watched it become regime change, are determined not to make that mistake again. So the environment for international action is just much more constricted than it was in Libya. There's still a struggle underway to define an intervention that could work, whether Russia and China wanted it or not, but that process has been very slow. There was a meeting in Tunisia last week that was meant to define a way forward, and while it sounds like there were some useful conversations and a kind of outline of a direction, still nothing has happened in time to rescue those who are sort of under the shells in Homs.
We're speaking with Steve Cole, president of the New America Foundation, staff writer for The New Yorker. You know, Steve, we've gotten reports that for some time now, some outside source has been at least arming the rebels inside Syria. Clearly, that is not enough of an intervention. I wonder if there is anything at this point that would be sufficiently effective against the Syrian government's aggression besides foreign troops stepping onto Syrian soil or aircraft at least passing over the Syrian airspace.
Yeah, I think the most muscular idea that has plausibility is some kind of humanitarian corridor that probably would require troops to cross the Syrian border in order to secure the boundaries of this corridor. You remember back to the Balkan Wars of the 1990s where various safe zones were established. Now, some of those didn't turn out very well because the countries that committed to them weren't prepared actually to defend them. In this case, the idea would be to build a corridor from Turkey towards some of the towns that are under siege and create a space that would then be defended by Turkish troops, perhaps Arab League troops, and certainly Arab League aircraft. There are countries in the Arab League, like Qatar, who flew over the Libyan no-fly zone, I think who would be prepared to support such an endeavor. But whether they would really have the political will to sustain such a corridor under Syrian bombardment, which they could reasonably expect, I think is a big question. That's one. And Turkey also has proved to be, in the end, a little bit cautious about taking any action that could lead to a full escalation with Syria, which has threatened to wage war against Turkey if it did more than it's doing now. You mentioned arming the rebels. That is clearly being discussed and is probably underway in a covert way, maybe by Qatar and other more aggressive states from the Gulf. But the Free Syrian Army just isn't coherent enough to stand up to the full weight of the Syrian security services right now.
We're speaking with Steve Cole, president of the New America Foundation, staff writer for The New Yorker. And Steve, you wrote a really moving tribute to Anthony Shadid, the New York Times reporter who died last month in Syria. And of course, after the death of Marie Colvin, a French photographer, and the number of journalists who had to be evacuated because they'd been injured, that leads to speculation that the Syrian government is, in fact, targeting journalists in order to prevent news of what they're doing from getting out to the world. Is that in and of itself ratcheting up the possible intervention plans of outside nations?
Well, I think the evidence on its face, as we were talking about earlier, I mean, Syria has committed war crimes on its face, although which individuals would really be held legally responsible for the shelling and the indiscriminate targeting of civilians isn't clear. But the information war that you allude to is critical, and outside journalists are an important part of it, but so are all those Syrians standing in the street waving cell phones. They themselves are also targeted for their effort to get the story out.
Although we're hearing news today that not only are cell phones blocked, but the Syrian government has been successful, the rebels claim, in blocking satellite transmission as well.
Yeah, there's an underground sort of very interesting story of our times in the effort of the opposition to get its images out and the effort of the Syrian government to use the sort of monopoly telecommunications power it has to prevent that. I think so far the witnesses to the atrocities are on the whole winning. I don't think it's possible in this world, especially when Syria is so close to free countries like Turkey and relatively free Lebanon, it's not possible to silence all of this witnessing. But the Syrian government, as you point out, does seem to be targeting journalists and certainly is very focused on trying to control the story as best it can.
Does the diplomatic community, and most especially the Arab League, where there is a great deal of support among other Arab people in the Middle East for the Syrians, do they have the stomach to stand by and watch as the Syrian government wipes out Baba Amr?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it does come down to a gut willingness to accept one's own powerlessness if you're a Sunni state like Saudi Arabia and to just stand by and watch all of this slaughter take place without taking action. And I do think there's a stirring among some of these governments to do something. Of course, without questioning the genuineness of their humanitarian motivation, they also have a very ardent sort of geopolitical motivation here, which is that they see themselves in an existential struggle against Iran. They regard Syria as Iran's proxy, and the overthrow of the Assad government is something that they would welcome if they could achieve it. So that puts a little bit of an edge on their attitude towards this conflict. And if they did intervene, it would paint the intervention with sectarian motivation.
We'll have to leave it there. That's Steve Cole, president of the New America Foundation, staff writer for The New Yorker.